The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter Number 5, Text Number 8. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari. Recorded on April 8th, 2018, in Pune, India.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Pumsa Striya Matuni Bhavam Etam Tayo Mitta Hridaya Grantim Ahu Atta Griha Kshatra Sutta Apta Vittai Janashya Moha Ayam Aham Mama Iti Pungsastriya Muni Pungsastriya Mutuni Bhavam Etam
Pungsastriya Mutuni Bhavam Etam
Tayor Mito Hridaya Grantam Ahu Ato griha chatta sutapta vittayar Janasamoho yam mahang mameti Pung sastriya mituni bhava metam Tayor mito hridaya grantam ahu Ato griha chatta sutapta vittayar Janashamoho yam maham ameti Pung sastriya mituni bhava metam Tayor mito hridaya grantam ahu Ato grisha chatta sutapta vittayar Janashamoho yam maham ameti Pumsa of a male, Striya of a female, Mutuni Bhavam, attraction for sexual life, Etam, this, Tayo, of both of them, Mita, between one another, Hridaya Grantim, the knot of the hearts. Ahu, they call. Ata, thereafter. Griha, by home. Kshetra, field. Sutta, children. Apta, relatives. Vittai, and by wealth. Janashya, of the living being. Moha, illusion. Ayam, this. Aham, I. Mama, mine. Iti, thus. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Translation: the attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. On the basis of this misconception, which ties together the hearts of the male and female, one becomes attracted to his body, home, property, children, relatives, and wealth. In this way, one increases one's life's illusions and thinks in terms of I and mine. Purport. Sex serves as a natural attraction between man and woman. A And when they are married, their relationship becomes more involved. Due to the entangling relationship between man and woman, there is a sense of illusion whereby one thinks, this man is my husband, or this woman is my wife. This is called Hridaya Granti, the heart knot in the heart. This knot is very difficult to undo, even though a man and woman separate either for the principle of varnashrama or simply get a divorce. In any case, the man always thinks of the woman, and the woman always thinks of the man. Thus, a person becomes materially attached to family, property, and children, although all of these are temporary. The possessor, unfortunately, identifies with his property and wealth. Sometimes, even after renunciation, one becomes attached to a temple or to a few things that constitute the property of a sannyasi, but such attachment is not as strong as family attachment. The attachment to the family is the strongest illusion. In the Sajja Samhita it is stated, Parmanja yagyavakadya muchante stri sahayinaha bodhyante kechinaite shang visesham chovidovidu. Sometimes it is found among exalted personalities like Brahma that the wife and children are not a cause of bondage. On the contrary, the wife actually helps further spiritual life and liberation. Nonetheless, most people are bound by the knots of the marital relationship, and consequently they forget their relationship with Krishna. So there are two kinds of household life, Grihastha and Grihamedi. Both are mentioned here in this purport. Most people are in the Grihamedi category, you see. This is my wife, this is my husband, these are my kids. I, me, and mine makes me feel real fine. You see. So this binds one, you see. Instead of realizing their relationship with Krishna, they simply realize their relationship with family. That's not the real relationship we're looking at. But you don't have to be a Grihamedi, you can be a Grihastha. For Grihasthas, those who are Krishna conscious, the wife and the husband assist each other in going back to Godhead. The wife or the husband becomes an impetus for liberation from this material existence. But that means they're not overwhelmed by sex, you see. Even initiated devotees, you see, if they're overwhelmed by sex, they're not grihasthas or grihamedi. Grihastha means they only use sex for procreation. This actual injunction for those who follow Vedic principles, even in married life, they remain strict brahmachari. They don't have sex life, except when they want to make their wife pregnant. Then once in a month, after just 5 days after the menstrual cycle, and after the husband and wife both chant 50 rounds of japa, then they will try for sex. And in former times, there'd be a whole ceremony. They invite the Brahmins. Now my wife and I, we will try to have a child, so it's called Garbhadan Samskara. You invite all the Brahmins, you invite all your friends, you have a big festival to purify the act of trying to have a child, you see. Not that just I feel like having sex and I have sex. That's animal life, you see. So we recommend any householder who's having trouble with this principle, don't sleep in the same bed. Very simple. Don't sleep in the same bed. That will help a lot, you see. To be a Grihastha, not a Grihamedi. Because sex life is very, very powerful attraction. And as long as we remain attached to sex life, attracted by sex life, guaranteed we won't go back to Godhead. We'll take birth again. So one has to become completely free from sex desire. We have four types of brahmacharis in our movement. Those who are strictly following, they're either a brahmachari, no sex life at all, grihastha brahmachari, only having sex for procreation, not recreation, you see. A vanaprastha brahmachari, they've given up sex life altogether, no more kids, no more sex life, you see. We're staying together as husband and wife, you see, vanaprastha and brahmachari. And then sannyasi brahmachari. So our ISKCON is actually a brahmachari movement. We're all brahmacharis here, you see. Prabhupada says brahmachari means only using sex for procreation. That is brahmachari. So we're all brahmacharis here. Brahmachari, brahmacharinis, we're all brahmacharis here. Those who are strictly following Prabhupada, we're all brahmacharis. Those who are having difficulty, it's because of what's described here, you see. Because it's describing here. We shouldn't make it official that, well, it's okay, it's with your wife. We can't teach that principle because that's against the Vedic principles. It means only for procreation once in a month after the menstrual cycle. So when do we end the class? At 9:40?
9:45.
9:45. We have a half an hour. Okay, we'll speak a little longer here. Yeah, this attraction between men and women is very... Prabhupada says even if they separate... because of varnashrama or divorce, there's very strong attachment is there, you see. So we have that tendency to be very attracted to the opposite sex. Or sometimes they take that tendency due to frustration and they put it to the same sex, homosexuality, you see. They take that tendency of sexual attraction and they were somewhat burned by it, now they want to put it to the same sex. They take that same tendency and apply it to the same sex. Gays, is it? But that principle of sex attraction is what keeps us here. What does it mean, giving pleasure to the genitals? You see, in material life, we have two organs of great gratification, the tongue and the genitals. If you regulate your tongue by only taking prasad and not becoming a big lubber ball either, you know, eating 20 gulab jamuns for breakfast every day. If you regulate your tongue by taking prasad nicely, only prasad, you see, then you're training yourself, then the genitals also have to regulate. The tongue is regulated and the genitals also have to regulate, you see. If you can regulate your tongue and genitals, then you're called Goswami, you see, a master of your senses. In such a person, he masters the art, either he or she, of bringing the mind perfectly under control, you see. When you don't give in to your sensual urges, when you bring your mind and your tongue and your genitals under control, then you can bring your mind completely under control. As long as you're gratifying your tongue, over-gratifying the tongue and the genitals, your mind will go crazy. You cannot bring your mind under control. You can't be a yogi if you're indulging your senses, you see. But if you will strictly keep your tongue and genitals absorbed properly in Krishna's service, then you'll be able to bring your mind under control. And when you have your mind under control, then you can fix the lotus feet of Sri Radha and Krishna and let it remain there eternally. You see? So in that position, you derive unlimited pleasure, millions and billions of times greater than any pleasure of the tongue or the genitals. You see? Why? Because we're not these bodies. You're not your tongue. You're not your genitals. It's not you. It's an external covering of the self. It's not the actual self. You see? So instead of trying to titillate the senses of your covering, why not titillate your actual self? That's called bhakti. You want to be stimulated. You want to be thrilled at every minute, right? You want to be blissing out, right? Well, learn how to do it, that's all. We don't say don't enjoy. We certainly must learn the art of how to really enjoy, you see. The fact is, that Krishna consciousness, when you actually enter into Krishna consciousness, it's millions and billions of times more pleasure than having sex with 1,000 virgins. Literally, I'm not exaggerating. Having sex with 1,000 virgin girls is nothing compared to one pure utterance of Krishna. So we just have to learn how to chant properly. That's all. And then your genitals would say, "That's not, I'm not interested in that stuff anymore. I'm just going to be quiet and let you focus on Krishna. I'm going to stop harassing you. Give me sex, give me sex, give me sex." No, your genitals would say, "All right, I'm going to be quiet now because you found something better than titillating me. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Yadavari mama cheta Krishna padaravindi nava nava rasadam yunatiranti masit tadavadi bhattanari sangame bhavsmaryamane bhavati muku nashtiva namsha." This is described by Jamunacharya Albandru of South India, who was formerly a king. And in those days, kings meant harem. And they could enjoy so much sex pleasure. So he became a sadhu. He renounced material life. But sometimes he would remember all those acts of sex he used to have. When those thoughts would sometimes come back, sexual thoughts would sneak back into his brain. As soon as they did, he said, "I spitted the thought. If I think of sex, ever since I have engaged in the transcendental loving service of Krishna, relishing nava nava rasa, ever increasing pleasure in that service to Krishna, whenever due to my past activities, the thought of sex pleasure comes to my brain, my lips immediately curl with distaste and I spit at the thought." So we recommend everybody who wants to be brahmachari, either brahmachari, brahmachari, grihastha brahmachari, vanaprastha brahmachari, sannyas brahmachari, or brahmacharini brahmachari, you have to keep a good mental spittoon always handy. Not literally, we don't want people spitting during japa. A mental spittoon. Everybody should have a mental spittoon handy. So if you get some lusty, some dirty thought coming, you go poof. You know, in your mind, of course. But we really do have to be good spitters, you see. Because I know myself, I came from the hippie movement, and man, we were really going wild in sex life. It was crazy. You ever saw the movies or heard about the hippies? They were sex mongers. And all the hippie girls were prostitutes for all the hippie boys. It was a very heavy scene. Very heavy scene. But thousands of hippies said, "This is nonsense. We'll become disciples of Prabhupada because this is much better than sex." See. So we came to this, not that we didn't enjoy sex. We knew what it was like. We enjoyed sex like anything. We realized it's just a total waste of time and energy. It's useless. It's just a nonsense waste of time. Better just to go deep, deep into bhakti. So Prabhupada captured it. He said, "Now I've turned all the hippies into happies." So now we've become very happy and we found something much better than sex pleasure. So if you're having difficulty with sex attraction, you should learn a lesson from those who gave it up, realizing it's just a waste of time. Unless you want to have children, it's an absolute total waste of time. Sleep in different beds, sleep in a different room. That's even better if you can do that. Don't engage in sex life unless you have the blessings of your spiritual master to try to have a child. You're going to have it once a month after chanting 50 rounds of japa, 5 days after the menstrual cycle. That's Prabhupada's instruction. Some of our gurus now are making some more relaxed interpretation, but that's not what Prabhupada taught us. It's not what Prabhupada taught us. So we don't want this idea of sex enjoyment is okay for householders. It's not. They're grihamedi. They're not grihastha. So now we have some questions. Try to answer them. I had some left over from the morning. I don't know if we have time to get to those now. Okay. How can sex life be regulated in married life? It's difficult for one who are new to Krishna consciousness. Well, When I was new to Krishna consciousness, I did it. And I was more degraded than you, any of you Indians were. If I can do it, anybody can do it. I mean, it's not really, you just have to understand we need to do this. That's all. Don't sleep in the same bed. That's the easiest thing. And you should, the husband and wife should guard each other. If the husband gets lusty, the wife says, no. The husband gets, you see, they help each other. The husband gets lusty, the wife says no. If the wife gets lusty, the husband says no. That's all. You have to help each other. You see. It's not difficult. It really isn't difficult. If you understand the necessity of it and you do it, I guarantee you, you're not going to be the loser. But we get so much pleasure. It's relief from tension, you may say. And actually, it increases your tension. This illicit sexual activity increases your tension. Because you're engaged in sinful activity and you're going to get sinful reactions. And if you're initiated, you're also putting out something on your guru will have to suffer also. So, it's actually ecstatic to give up these nonsense things. It's ecstatic. It really is. I wanted to know that whether the name man or woman actually exists, or that concept, because both bodies have some five gross elements. Yeah, there is such a thing as a male and female bodies. That's a fact. Even in the spiritual world, there is Krishna and Radha. So there are male and female. That's a fact of nature. We are giving a service. Thank you very much for your wonderful class. Well, I'm trying anyway. We are giving a service of management and leading a project, Seva, how to ensure that we don't lose our focus, that we are a servant and not the master. It's easy, just keep praying. Prayer is a powerful thing. Whatever mindset you know you need to have, but you don't have it, you keep begging for that. You're a manager, now there's a tendency to think, now I am the Lord. Well, you have to keep begging, my dear Lord, please help me remember, I'm not the Lord, I'm the servant of all these devotees. Prabhupada said the spiritual master thinks he has so many gurus. The spiritual master sees his disciples as his gurus because he has to serve them. If the spiritual master sees he has so many gurus, then what do you think about the people that you're leading? You see, in this way, I have so many, now I was just, previously I was just taking care of my own Krishna consciousness, now I have to serve all of these devotees by seeing that they're nicely, happily engaged in Krishna's service. Manager means you have more service now, you become more of a servant than you were before. Understand? Manager means now you're more of a servant. Okay. More coming, okay. Although I am able to avoid any gross illicit sexual connection, I am still not able to give bad thoughts that come in my dreams and bad habits like masturbation. Woo! Masturbation, let's talk about that one. Oh my God. Do you realize when you masturbate that you're calling death very near? You're shortening your life, first of all. You're shortening your lifespan. You're taking your brain power away because the seva is called urdhvareta. It rises to the brain and nourishes your brain for spiritual understanding. Passing semen means you will become a senile old man who can't remember anything. You become a blubbering idiot. You pass too much semen. You want to be a strong brain person? You never pass semen. Unless you're trying to impregnate your wife. Otherwise, you never pass it. Because you hold your semen in, it makes you strong, it makes you healthy, it makes you intelligent, it gives you longevity. Anybody who masturbates is the biggest fool in the three worlds. Biggest fool. Oh, but it feels so good. You don't know the pleasure of Krishna's name, sir. The pleasure of Krishna's name is millions of times better than masturbation. I mean, there's no comparison. It's gross. It's disgusting. So, No more masturbators. Cut out the masturbation. You don't need it. It's a waste of time and waste of energy. Instead of putting your hand to masturbate, put your hand in the bead bag. Simple thing. If you feel like masturbating, just put your hand in the bead. Get two bead bags, one for each hand. Okay. Despite practicing Krishna consciousness now for 6 to 7 years, hearing so many lectures, you're still a beginner. 6 to 7 years is nothing. You're just starting, really. Hearing so many lectures, reading books, it still appears my mind is forcibly dragged away towards sense gratification and bad habits. For 6 or 7 years, that's understandable. You've been caught up for millions and billions of lifetimes in running after sense pleasure. So you think 6 or 7 years is going to completely cure millions and billions of lifetimes of bad habits? It's nothing. It's just like a snap of a finger, 6 or 7 years. But I can tell you this, if you become very, very, very intense, you can totally master your mind right now. There's the example of Kadvanga Maharaj. You know that story? History. He was a Vedic king on the earth planet. The demons had conquered the heavenly planets, but the demigods were not powerful enough to fight off the demons. But this earthly king, Kadvanga Maharaj, was a more powerful fighter than the demigods. He was so powerful. So they invited Kadvanga Maharaj to come to the heavenly planets. And he led the fight against the demons, and he fought for many, many years and completely got the demons out of the heavenly kingdom. The demigods were so grateful. Anything, just any boon you would like, we will give you whatever boon. What can we give you? He said, just tell me when I'm going to die. That's all he wanted to know. This is Vedic king, Rajarshi. They're Rishi and Raja at the same time. They're a great saint and also a powerful fighter at the same time. He said, just tell me when I'm going to die. They said, oh, your death is just now coming. He said, thank you very much. He took complete shelter of Krishna and went back to Godhead immediately. So we have to develop that intensity where we can be like Kadvanga Maharaj and say, okay, now I'm going to completely take shelter of Krishna. I'm going to kick out all the lust, the anger, the greed, the madness, illusion. Get out of me right now. You're not welcome. I don't want any of you back ever again. Now I want only Krishna consciousness. You have to have that kind of determination at every minute. You keep that focus, that determination. You may not become like Kadvanga Maharaj, but I guarantee you will quickly realize Krishna if you have that kind of intensity. See, Maya Devi, you're not welcome here unless you're trying to help me be Krishna conscious. She will do that when you pass all of her tests. Maya Devi will help you to be Krishna conscious when you pass all of her tests. So say, Maya, give me all the tests right now and bless me, I can pass them because I want you to help me now to be Krishna conscious. Okay. How to tolerate the urges of the genitals? Just ignore them, that's so. Sorry. I got other things, more things to do. You see. The genitals say, give me sex, give me sex. Shut up. We don't need it. We don't need it. All we need is Krishna. I don't need sex, I don't need followers. What did Lord Chaitanya say? No wealth, no women, no followers. You see. I don't need sex, I don't need followers, I don't need money, all I need is Krishna. You have to have that determination and practice it with your every thought, your every word, your every deed in all times, places, and circumstances. Don't simply make Krishna consciousness something theoretical. You have to make it practical by grabbing that mind and bringing it back every time it goes away. If you do that, you become a powerful yogi, a powerful preacher who can spread this movement like wildfire all over the world. How to eat prasadam with the proper consciousness. Don't eat it. Honor it. Prasadam is worshipable. Krishna has manifested in the form of these foodstuffs to purify our hearts. How to give up bodily identification I have so many times not some, but unable. Yeah. Well, how do you realize you're not your body? By engaging your body in Krishna's service. You can't do it theoretically. You have to engage your body practically in the service of Krishna. Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam. You cannot become self-realized just by theoretically. You have to do it practically by engaging the mind, the words, and the activities in Krishna's service 24/7. That's how you become self-realized. You have to work hard. But you know what? It's not really work. It's not really work. Prabhupada told us that in Los Angeles. He said, in this process of Krishna consciousness, you can. There's nothing you can say, Swamiji, this point is very troublesome. Prabhupada, he was called Swamiji then, that was the early days. And he said, it is simply recreation. So actually, when you're in the right mindset, there's no work at all. We're just having fun here. We're just celebrating, you see. Whatever we're doing, cleaning the temple, washing the dishes, cooking, cleaning, preaching, distributing books, hammering nails, it's all a celebration of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Please explain how there is no enjoyment in sense gratification, especially sex life. Well, first of all, the genitals are not you. Your body is not you. Just like if you sit down, to have prasadam, there's some nice sweet rice there on your plate. You say, let me enjoy that sweet rice. You take your kurta sleeve and you put it in the sweet rice. Can you enjoy that sweet rice by putting your kurta sleeve in it? No, because it's not you. If you want to enjoy it, you got to put it in your mouth. Then you'll enjoy the sweet rice. But you can't enjoy the sweet rice by putting your kurta sleeve in the sweet rice. So sex life is like putting the kurta sleeve in the sweet rice itself. It's not you getting satisfied. It's simply giving the shirt sleeve a little sweet rice. It doesn't really touch you. It's just an illusion of happiness. There's no real happiness in it, actually. Material happiness is an illusion. There is no such thing as material happiness, actually. Get that straight, everyone. There is no such thing as material happiness. It's simply a dream, an illusion. You think you're happy, but actually you're not getting any satisfaction. So instead of trying to get happiness in that place where there is no happiness, the intelligent person goes for happiness in that place, Brahmasau kam tvanantam. He goes for happiness in that place where there is unlimited nature. You say, well, how do I realize that? Well, just do it. Give up material sense gratification and engage yourself in the service of Krishna. Just as an experiment. In the beginning, I wasn't convinced to become a monk. I was a singer-songwriter. I'll follow George Harrison's Sampradaya. I'll just write songs about Krishna and do my music, I was thinking. But then the devotees were telling me I should really get initiated, you know. Follow all these rules. I said, I don't know about this. That Radha Krishna Temple album had just come out, and the second cut, devotees were singing, Samsara Dava Nalandita Loka Chanaya Kar Yunyaga Naganagvam Braptasya Kalyana Gunana Vasyam Bande Guru Shihi Chatanara Vindam. And I was vacuuming the temple room rug, actually, that was my service in the morning. And I heard that song playing on the record player, and I was amazed. These devotees are relishing incredible bliss. Hearing their voices, I was able to transport my mind into a state of getting a feeling what they were feeling, getting a little sense of what they were feeling. because they were singing to Prabhupada, and I went, wow, this is better than any pleasure I had, and this is better than sex life. This is better than any pleasure I've ever had ever in my whole life. So yes, I will give my life to Prabhupada, you see. So the fact is, when you give yourself completely to Guru and Krishna, totally sacrifice. Now I belong to Guru and Krishna. I have no other business but to serve them for all of eternity. You taste a pleasure which is better than millions of sex life, or becoming, or having millions of dollars, or any pleasure of the material world. So you have to learn how to relish that pleasure of giving yourself to Krishna. And then these other things will go away automatically. Who wants to waste my time with some so-called happiness? You see? Please detail out your services schedule. In the early days of Krishna consciousness as a brahmacharya, you're my inspiration. Well, in the beginning, we'd have our morning program, we'd chant our rounds, we'd have a Bhagavatam class, and we'd go out and preach on the campus, the University of Texas. In the very beginning, that was my service. We'd go out all day for preaching, we'd come back at an evening program, we'd with a very exalted sannyasi, Vishnu John Swami. He was just so inspiring to be with. And then, so I did that service. In Gainesville, Florida, I was doing the lunch program, before we even called it Food for Life. We had prasadam distribution on the campus. That was my service. I would, the morning program, but I was so busily engaged all day out of the preaching, but I was thinking, some new thing had just happened. It's called the Bhaktivedanta Tape Ministry. And now for the first time, we didn't have access before that, for the first time, now you could hear Prabhupada's lectures that he gave 3 days ago in Los Angeles or in Denver or in London. And they've been mailing us these tapes. Every week we got an envelope full of the latest lectures given, you know, 1 week ago. Wow. Where's the time to hear these lectures? So I thought, well, you know, eating is not really that important. So I would take a breakfast, but I would skip lunch every day and I would hear those tapes and take notes. I still have the notebooks. I would take notes and I learned so many things. And then I would go out on the campus and I would use Prabhupada's arguments and all the Mayavadi hippies. And I would defeat their arguments. So I had a very exciting life as a brahmachari, actually. Many, many services. Very exciting life as a brahmachari. And then Krishna, I was going to take sannyas actually, but then I was on the sannyas waiting list. But then my GBC said, look, there's this girl here. I think you might want to marry her. And I saw this very exalted Vaishnavi, very, very exalted Vaishnavi. I was thinking, wow, we could be a preaching team, you know. So I decided that having a good Krishna conscious wife is better than a danda. So I went straight to Vanaprastha life. We didn't do a grahastha thing. We just went straight from brahmacharya to Vanaprastha. Preachers. And it's work. She and I are attracting disciples all over the world. She's called Guru Mata. They call her Guru Mata. They worship her also. My disciples worship her as well. So that's a little summary. Okay. Is chanting Hare Krishna sufficient to give up all bad tendencies? No, you have to chant without offense. If you commit offenses, you can go on chanting for millions and billions of lifetimes and not go back to Godhead. If you're a household and you're messing around with sex pleasure, but you're chanting your rounds, you're not going to go back to Godhead. Yes. You have to become clean, a free flanam aparats. And then, you won't even have to worry about going back to Godhead. You'll already be back to Godhead. As Prabhupada told me in one letter, he said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. If you will purely chant the names now, purely follow the principles, you can qualify that Krishna reveal himself to you right here in Pune. You will see him in your own home. He will come and reveal himself to you. If you become, or Prabhupada said, the deity will talk to you also. I'm not there yet, but I'm working on it. I got Prabhupada's order to come to that stage. But this process will take you to that point where directly will reveal you, Krishna will reveal himself to you directly. You won't have to wait to go back to Godhead. You already be back to Godhead. Krishna will come to you. And you'll have a relationship directly with Krishna, face to face, eye to eye. Just like that verse in the Brahma Samhita. So let's see. How much time is required to attain perfection of chanting offenselessly? Well, it could take 1 minute or it could take millions of lifetimes. It's up to our determination. Can I go a little longer?
Yeah.
How many minutes?
We can answer to 10.
10 o'clock, all right. I got 15 minutes and 15 questions. Don't send any more questions. See if I can finish them all here. How to read Prabhupada's books regularly. You must have a system to read all of Prabhupada's books. Just like when I was a Brahmacharya, I read all of them, but it's been a long time, so I've started a new program now. I'm going to read all the books again. You see. I'm working on Krishna book right now. Wow, it's so nice. The Trinavarta demon, Putana. These are exciting things. You have to read all the books, go through all the books, get access to all the books. The Brahmacharyas have access to all the books here? Yeah. Now, in the old days, there was no Brahmachari library, so I always became the Brahmachari librarian. There'd be a full set of books. I took that service. I'll be the Brahmachari librarian to make sure we have a full set of books for the Brahmachari. That way I got a full set to read. I read all the books again and again. House orders, get all the books in your home. Every house owner should have a full set of Prabhupada's books in their home. That way your home become the spiritual world. How many house owners have a full set of books in their home? Raise your hand. Jai. Very good. Very good. So now read them. Don't let them... You have just like you have your regular job every day, you have regulated reading time every day. And if you do that, you'll have so much spiritual knowledge, so many lights will come in your heart. Okay. One book in Finnish. Should they read one book and finish it, or read two or three books at a time? Whatever works for you. If you want to read three books at the same time, a half hour of Gita, a half hour of Bhagavatam, a half hour of Chaitanya, you can do it either way. As long as you read all the books, that's what counts. Whatever works for you, whatever inspires you the most. I'd rather do one book at a time, but if you want to do two or three books, spend 15 minutes. Whatever inspires you the most, you can do that. There's no hard and fast rule. Sometimes we know that some things are bad, but our mind feels or tells to experience it once how to control it. Well, it's a good thing you're recognizing the devious nature of your mind. You're on the right track, right? Whoever asked this question, you're on the right track because you realize the devious nature of your mind. Now tell your mind, no. That's all. How to derive the highest pleasure in conditioned state. In the conditioned state, you can't derive any pleasure. You have to kick out your conditioning. Conditioning, get out. Air conditioning, that's all right. But mental conditioning, get out. From now on, I belong to Krishna, I belong to Guru, and that's it for all of eternity. My every thought, my every word, my every deed in all times, places, and circumstances must be completely for the pleasure of my spiritual master and Krishna. Bus. In that way, draw a hard line and demand pure bhakti from yourself. You'll be amazed at how much bliss you can actually relish every day at every minute. If you're not relishing unlimited bliss, ever increasing unlimited bliss at every minute, you're cheating yourself right now. I'm including myself in this. We're all cheating ourselves right now because we're not pure devotees yet. You see? We're all cheating ourselves because we're not pure devotees. A pure devotee is relishing unlimited bliss at every minute, directly associating with Krishna and all the previous acharyas. We're cheating ourselves by not being pure devotees. So kick out all the nonsense and beg Krishna, please make me your pure devotee. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Okay. All right. Sometimes the agitation of the mind for sex life gives a discouragement in brahmacharya ashram. Well, that's good. It's only sometimes. You're making progress. How to deal with it? Prabhupada's books are fantastic. If you study the books of Prabhupada, you really have to go deep into Prabhupada's books. I know Prabhupada said in one morning walk, he said, the position of the sex, that how nasty it is. And Sarupa Damodar Maharaj, he wasn't a Maharaj yet, but he was playing the role of the scientists. So he would always role play in these discussions, pretend like he was a scientist. He would say, but Prabhupada, how to continue the species? Prabhupada said, you finish it, this condemned world. So nobody thought that was very funny, but that's how heavy Prabhupada was. The position of the sex, that how nasty it is. You have to be convinced that sex life is nasty, 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 dirty thing. You can use it for producing children, but other than that, it's just completely nasty. For producing children, it's divine. According to Bhagavad Gita, use it for producing children, it's Krishna himself. It's divine. But beside that, it's this dirty, nasty, abominable thing. A brahmachari must be convinced of this. The brahmachari should be hearing this. They should be telling each other this. And if, this way, they can remain a good brahmachari. Or if they get married, they can be grihastha brahmachari, not engaging in illicit sex. Why is brahmachari's class in the temple only? For brahmacharis in the temple, not for other brahmacharis. I don't know this. I don't know about these policies. I retreat to everybody. I don't distinguish all brahmacharis, householders. We're all trying to be brahmacharis here from my perspective. So I can talk about all these things because it applies to all of us. It's a matter of everyone has to hear these things. But there may be some... But there can be special classes for brahmacharis, for brahmacharinis, or householders. I have no objection to that. But we can also talk about it generally with everyone at the same time. It's not some taboo topic. Prabhupada talked about it openly. Why, we can't talk about it openly. Here's how open Prabhupada was. In one lecture he said, if you're too much lusty, a lover of vagina, then you should worship Indradeva instead of Krishna. In a lecture, Prabhupada told that, a public lecture. If you're too lusty, a lover of vagina, don't worship Krishna, worship Indradev. Prabhupada, this is how heavy Prabhupada was. Very heavy. Can you imagine how heavy? If you're a vagina lover, you worship Indradev, not Krishna. That's what he said in lecture, public lecture. So Prabhupada was very heavy about these things. And because of his heaviness, we were attracted to this and we gave up sex life. Men and women both became transcendental of these lusty desires, you see, because Prabhupada is very heavy. He smashed it again and again. He smashed these things, and we loved it. We were ecstatic like anything to hear Prabhupada smashing these things, and we were able to give it up. Prabhupada empowered men and women both to become, give up this nonsense sex life and use it only for procreation. Now, some weren't able to do, but many were able to do because Prabhupada empowered them. Is it possible and practically to realize that Krishna consciousness is better than sex without ever having undergone intercourse? Yeah, you don't need to have sex to see that it's not as good as Krishna consciousness. If you're a brahmachari, don't you have to go out and see how horrible it is to have sex so you can think it, so you can know if it, realize practically it's Krishna consciousness is better. You don't need to do that. All you need to do is hear. Learning by hearing is better than learning by experience. It's not that you have to go out, you know, and become a drug addict and this and that to know they're not very good. An intelligent person learns by hearing. So it's not necessary, if you're a pure brahmachari, remain a pure brahmachari. You don't have to see what it's like to be an illusion. You've already been an illusion for millions of lifetimes. Now, we've all experienced these things now and in previous lifetimes. Now it's time to come out of it and give it up. Why can't I find pleasure after taking Krishna's name? Because you're committing nama aparad. If you're not committing aparad, you will derive unlimited pleasure. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. You will taste unlimited pleasure. If you're not getting pleasure from chanting, you have to find out, what offenses am I committing? Talk to a senior devotee and have them analyze you, psychoanalyze you, and see what you're doing wrong. What are your offenses you're committing? Every devotee should be getting unlimited nectar from Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. If you're not getting it, it's nama aparad. You have to find out, talk to somebody, and find out, what am I doing wrong? I am new here. Sorry if I said anything inappropriate. Your question was wonderful. You would be congratulated for that question. Okay. I heard we should see deities for a long time meditating on the Lord. I'm able to for more than 10 minutes. Prabhupada, you can see the videos how Prabhupada would come for the darshan. Actually, just like we have that psalm, Prabhupada was regulated how he would take the darshan. I do it myself because I learned from Prabhupada. Actually, I learned from Tamal Krishna Maharaj because he followed what Prabhupada did. Prabhupada had a whole system. The first altar, in the song, with the song he would change at a certain point in the song. Like, Govinda. I can't tell you right now, but if I could, I could tell you, and you could learn. And I can't say offhand, but if we play that tape, if we do for the greeting, I can show you, okay, in this point, Prabhupada would go to the next altar. At this point, he would go to the third altar. I learned it from Tamal Krishna Goswami. It's a very nice thing. So Prabhupada would take, if it wasn't 10 minutes, maybe, I don't know, maybe 45 seconds, something. But within that song, there'd be a regulated thing. At a certain point, you'd go to the next altar, at a certain point, the third altar. That was a regulated thing. So when I was with Tamal, I learned that, because that's what the whole temple would do. And I was in his zone, you see. We just followed Tamal, and he had learned from Prabhupada. So I'm regulated in that way. Here I'm a little... It's a little awkward for me here because you have a different system. But I do it anyway. I had to kind of fight through the crowd a little bit. But I do it here, and I'm in here. I follow the same pattern. Tomorrow you can see how I do it, how I time myself for the three darshans, because that was Prabhupada did. So it's not 10 minutes. But the point is not the amount of time, but it's how deep you go. If you go very, very deep, tears will come to your eyes. You see, if you go very, very deep, you'll have tears in the eyes. You see. Tears of love will come if you go very, very deep into the darshan. Praying to Krishna, my dear Lord, please bless me. I can become your pure devotee and become free of all this garbage in my heart. Okay. There we go. Okay, we got about 5 minutes. All right. I heard we should nourish intelligence to overcome mind pulling. Yes, we must strengthen the intelligence at the event. Although I am reading shastras to nourish, still pulling my mind is still... Are you reading the purports also? The thing is, you have to carefully read the verses and the purports. And you have to hear the classes also. Because you may not, your understanding may not be perfect of the books. If you hear from senior devotees who are more learned than you, you need to become very solid in your understanding the philosophy. If you do that, you can bring your mind under control. You see, you have to understand the philosophy well. So if you're not reading and you're still not getting understanding, you need to take some classes. They have shastra courses. You need to become learned in the scriptures to understand them properly. Sometimes my mind is so much agitated with sex desire that it doesn't allow me to chant the holy names and focus on or read scriptures, etc. How can I control my mind in that situation? One trick is get up early in the morning when the modes of nature are not very passionate. You see, the modes work in this way. Early, early morning, the mode of goodness is very powerful. When the sun comes up, the mode of passion comes in. Sunset, the mode of ignorance. When are you chanting your rounds and reading? The best times are before sunrise. That's my wife and I, we get up at 2 a.m. and chant japa before because we have puja, you see. We like to get up early and get our round done before Mangal Arati every day, you see. And then we can do puja very nicely and then our rounds are done. The thing is, if you get up early before the sunrise and read and chant, you'll be amazed at how the intensity of the nectar you taste. All right. What is the ultimate test to realize whether to be brahmachari or brahmachari, brahmadas, or grihastha, brahma? Okay. How to decide whether to be brahmachari or grihastha? Well, it's better to be brahmachari if you can pull it off. But in some cases, one in mind may become more peaceful if they get married. But you're taking on a big, big burden. From being a brahmachari living in the ashram to becoming a corporate worker out there in the morning rush every day and the pressure of the boss and the job. And I mean, it's really hell. It's really hell. It really is. The best thing is to stay brahmachari. It really is. If you can pull it off, stay brahmachari. Actually, Prabhupada said this: I'm asking all the men to stay brahmachari, and I'm asking all the women to get married. This is the dilemma. But somehow or other, Krishna arranges for everyone, you see. The thing is, Krishna cares about every devotee. Krishna loves each one of us unlimitedly. Every single devotee is the most dear soul to Krishna. Just as he reciprocated with each of those 16,000 queens individually, as if she was the only queen. You understand the example? Krishna deals with every single jiva soul as if this is the most dear soul in all of existence. He lives in your heart as a super soul. So Krishna, if you're sincerely trying to come back to Krishna, he will arrange your life in such a way to facilitate your coming back to him as soon as possible. And that includes, you know, ashram, livelihood, your service, everything. Krishna is the supreme manager, orchestrator. If you just are sincere to awaken love of God, Krishna will facilitate you. So trust. In America we say, on the money in God we trust, we should put in the Indian currency, in Krishna we trust. Is it good for a grihastha to not plan to have any children? Well, Prabhupada said two or three children. No, a grihastha does not have to have kids. If they want to be vanaprastha, they can do that. You're not required. Now, the family, your parents may say you have to have kids because they want to see the family tradition. But that's nonsense. You don't have to have kids. You don't have to have kids. If you want to have kids, you can do that. You're allowed, it's sacred. You can make them devotees. But you're not required to have children if you're married. You're not required, I'll make that very clear. You are not required to have children. You're not required to have sex. Just because you're married, you can be like my wife and I, brahmachari, brahmacharini, the whole time. You don't have to have sex because you're married. It's not required. If you want to have, do it according to the principles, and that's also beautiful. Either way is good. According to your desire. Okay. What is the secret for your enthusiasm? Well, it's pretty easy. Prabhupada ordered me to be enthusiastic. When I got initiated by a letter, because I hadn't been chanting, we all went to LA from Austin. And there was a big, big series of initiation yagas in L.A., but I only been chanting for like 4.5 months. Or maybe actually about 5 months. I was this short. I couldn't get initiated. Only been chanting. All the other devotees, hundreds of devotees got initiated, but I couldn't. Because I'd only been chanting for 5 months. Actually, I was upstairs crying in the Brahmacharya Ashram. I was afraid Prabhupada can die at any time. Oh my God, I missed the opportunity. I was just crying. I was weeping because I didn't get initiated. But then I went back. Another few weeks went by, and my 6 months had been covered. So I was now qualified, but Prabhupada was in London. So Vishnujan Swami wrote a letter to London. And I have these three boys, Steve and Ron and Chris. And so Prabhupada initiated us by a letter. And then I was so enlivened. I wrote Prabhupada, I forget what I wrote in the letter, but I was so happy I got initiated. And I sent the dakshina in to Prabhupada. Normally you give dakshina in hand, but I sent some checks in the mail to London. Prabhupada was very like a businessman. He gave the exact amount of the three checks that he had received. He wrote the exact amount in his return letter. So I must have expressed my... Oh yeah, I told Prabhupada I really want to spread Krishna consciousness. That's what I told him. I really want to spread this movement. And Prabhupada was so pleased. He wrote me back. He says, I can see you're a very sincere and enthusiastic boy. Now continue enthusiastically as you were doing, and surely Krishna will bless you. Prabhupada gave me an order, so I've been ordered to be enthusiastic. What can I do? That's my secret. The order, by being surrendered to the order of my guru. And now another order he gave to his disciples, he said, deliver the world. So I have an enthusiasm that somehow or other, we must deliver the world. I'm working as a member of this movement, you know. I must do everything I can to see this world is delivered. That's my mission, even if I have to take birth after birth, I'm thinking. I must see this, the living entities and this material existence, they're all delivered back to home, back to Godhead. Papa gave the order to deliver the world, and I take it very seriously. You know, I take birth after birth. I'm willing to do that if Prabhupada wants and Krishna wants. But I want to see that Prabhupada's order that becomes successfully carried out, that the world becomes delivered. And that gives me a lot of enthusiasm, I'll tell you right now. Being dedicated to that world deliverance order gives me tons of enthusiasm. Prabhu, I'm suffering from bad thoughts. In once a month, how to overcome, please explain. Krishna can just, we all have bad thoughts. I mean, we're all not part of a bad thought. It's something we all go through, isn't it? Bad thoughts. Well, bad thoughts are bad, right? They're bad, aren't they? So get rid of the damn thing. Put good thoughts in there instead. That's all. Whenever you have a bad thought, put a good thought in its place. Think, well, I really like to enjoy that girl over there. Wait a minute. Don't think that way. You should think this is one of Krishna's servants. I shouldn't think of trying to enjoy Krishna's property. You see? I should think of just serving Krishna. You have to understand that when you try to enjoy separately, all you do is suffer. When you try to see that Krishna is enjoying, then you enjoy unlimitedly. You have to understand the science and the art, how you can enjoy unlimitedly and practice the mental discipline of always keeping your mind in that mindset. If you do, you'll learn how to taste unlimited bliss at every minute, in every situation. So why cheat yourself for some so-called enjoyment and material sense gratification? A father serves so much for his son and daughter and derives utmost satisfaction at the end of his life. Really? How can we then say for such sincere men who did all national material duties, of course thanking God in their mind at all times perfectly and obtain full satisfaction, though such men are not fully Krishna conscious devotees? Let's look at it again. A father serves so much for his sons and daughters and derives utmost satisfaction at the end of his life. Really? Are you absolutely sure he derived the utmost satisfaction at the end of his life? What's the proof? Actually, they don't. Anybody who's not serving Krishna cannot derive the utmost satisfaction at any stage of life. Not possible. If you want your body to be nourished, you have to feed the belly. You can't just put your hand in the doll and expect to get any nourishment. You see? So even though you're serving your sons and daughters very nicely, what about the sons and daughters next door who aren't getting enough to eat? You see? Your service to your sons and daughters is skin disease, sir. Because they're from your body, you think, oh, I must serve them. It's this self-service is all you're really doing. You don't care about the other people. You just want to care about your own children. That means you're simply serving yourself. They're extensions of yourself, and you're simply serving them. It is selfishness, and selfishness can never satisfy the self. No one obtains full satisfaction except for those who serve Krishna. That's it, Ben. They may think they're happy, but when Yamaraj comes and pulls them to hell, screaming and kicking, they're not going to feel very satisfied. When the Yamadutas come to take him away, they say, "My sons, my daughters." The Yamaduta says, "We don't care about your sons and daughters. You're going to hell, bud." Your sons and daughters, you serve them so nicely the whole life. The time of death, they cannot save you from Yamaraj. But if you see the sons and all the sons and daughters of Krishna through all of existence, and you serve all those sons and daughters, the Yamaraj will never touch you. You understand this point? If you simply serve your family members and you don't serve Krishna, Yamaraj will take you to his abode and he will punish you for your selfishness. But if you see the sons and daughters of Krishna, they must all be made happy now throughout the whole world. You should see that every living entity, what do they call that? Folk over there? Family of Lord Krishna, right? I saw the poster. Family of Lord Krishna. Well, who is the family of Lord Krishna? Is it only the ISKCON devotees? Everybody is the family of Lord Krishna. They haven't realized it yet. But every single living entity throughout all of existence is part of Krishna's family. So you want to serve your family members? Then you engage yourself in the world deliverance mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then you're doing the best service for all of your family members. And the Yamadutas will never touch you. They'll never touch you. They'll simply offer their obeisances to you. Ah, here's a great Vaishnava. We won't touch those persons. So I actually went 10 minutes overtime. But these other questions, they were too late. There was a few more added, but too bad. Let's see about saving. Is there another class tonight?
Tomorrow morning.
Oh, tomorrow? No more class today.
Today is the class for the youth.
Special youth class. Tomorrow morning. I'll save these for tomorrow morning's class. And tomorrow morning is the last class, because then we're heading out to Europe to try to deliver the fallen souls in Europe. So we're asking you all to take this mission very seriously. Prabhupada did tell us to deliver the world. So your first business is to deliver yourself. The first business is you make yourself perfectly fit in Krishna consciousness. You focus on becoming the pure devotee of Krishna. That's your first business. And along with that now, you take also the order of delivering the whole world, because that service of taking up the world deliverance mission will also deliver you. Because the more you give Krishna, the more you get Krishna. So focus on being the pure devotee and try to make the whole world Krishna conscious. This is our mission. Thank you very much for tuning in. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.